Back in 1965, still another mother cried as her son was sent off to a land called Charlie's Paradise. Billy was a soldier in the bush, he played for keeps. The enemy was all around, didn't Charlie ever sleep. Ordered up the hill one day to take it and make a stand. Billy never made it back, he was dealt with Charlie's hand. Maybe he's a lucky one, cause we still feel the pain of a thousand wounded players who took part in Charlie's game. He's one of a million unsung heroes whose story forever goes untold. He left a soul in arm, but his spirit still is on. He's walking with us on the last patrol. Walking with us on the last patrol.
The Last Patrol Radio Show is a program dedicated to my brothers and sisters who have and to those who are now serving America in the U.S. military, the police and security, firefighters and EMS. This is a Veterans to Veterans ministry. By God's grace, we're here to serve and to help bring the truth to you through the Word and the life of Jesus Christ. I'm Pastor Ted Marshall. I served as a dog man, that is a canine handler, in the U.S. Air Force Security Police in the Vietnam War. I know that the bond we as veterans have is very special, and we can talk to each other. This program is for you and your family. Let us ask for guidance from our Lord to inspire and to hear from Him on how much He loves you. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:7. The Last Patrol Radio Program is a Talk to Vets ministry, hosting guests from the Christian veterans community and the caring and loving people who bring information, loving gratitude for all of you who are our nation's finest treasure. Here in the home of the brave, you are the brave in that home. You and I have a lot to share on subjects we can learn from. Using the Perfect Operations Planning Manual, the POPM, also known as the Bible. Heart to heart, vet to vet, patriot to patriot, welcome home. The Last Patrol is about realizing that we have a mission that we're being called to. Each of us has a special place in this patrol. We have and are now continuing specialized training for this task and mission. This is a highly motivated and extremely skilled operations team with overpowering strength, courage, and leadership support. The air power as well, the universe knows none is awesome. The ground troops are all in the army of the Lord. We are God's warriors. Who can stand against us? Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding in all your ways. Acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. Proverbs 3:5-6. Walk with us on the Last Patrol.
Hi, this is Pastor Ted Marshall. Welcome to the Last Patrol Radio Show. Special guest today, and a very, very important subject that we're going to be speaking about. And first of all, let me introduce our guest. Our guest has been with us several times. She was on our first radio show and been on several shows after that. It was one of our first guests to be live here in the studio. But today she's sitting at her home office, all nice and comfy, got her water next to her and all her information that she has right at fingertip, nice air-conditioned, cool-down day. And let me introduce you to our guest, and that is, of course, Pastor Linda Pugsley. And the title, I love it. It's Lieutenant Colonel, United States Air Force Auxiliary. She's also was a former flight nurse and Vietnam veteran in the United States Air Force. And she's also been a volunteer chaplain with the Army National Guard chaplain. And she's currently ministering as an associate pastor in Tampa, Florida. And it's Lieutenant Colonel Dr. Pastor Linda Pugsley. Linda, welcome back to our program. And Carol,
thank you, Ted. I do have to apologize for my voice. I've been kind of fighting this cold thing, but every time I talk to someone on the phone, they go, "Oh, yes, sir, yes, sir." I go, "No, no, I'm a girl. That's me." but I think we'll be fine as we get through some of the things here today.
We have unique things very important things that are happening here in America. And one of the things that we're finding out is that there is a problem that's out there that is finally being addressed. And that problem, of course, is there's military veterans out there that are committing suicide. And it doesn't matter what the levels are, if it's 22 a day, if it's 1 a day, if it's 30 a day. The important thing is that it shouldn't be happening. It should not be happening, and it should be addressed. And, Linda, I know that part of your work with the Air Force Auxiliary and the Coast, and excuse me, and the Army National Guard is be able to counsel and talk to these veterans, not only the veterans that are that you run in contact with, but also the active duty personnel that you've had in contact with. Can you tell us a little bit about what the interchange, how the people out there can, first of all, is there ways we can spot this, or are there ways that we can get this to be brought forth where we can reach the ones that need the problems or have the problems, how we can help?
You know, that's a very difficult subject, very difficult area. When I was a chaplain in the Army National Guard, I was with the 53rd Brigade Support Battalion, and they had deployed a number of times over the five-year period I was with them. They've been to Afghanistan and Iraq, and one of them, one of our young men, had committed suicide. And I can remember standing over his casket and just looking down, and I won't give his name out, but I spoke his name to the body laying there in his uniform, just a handsome young fellow whose life is finished. And I just said, why didn't you talk to me? Mm. And, you know, so many times things get really tough and they get really hard in the hearts of those that have to do some of the mission that the military is called on. The closest thing domestically that we have is law enforcement and first responders, the firefighters, et cetera. And they're on the scene for these traumas and for that. But they respond differently. And I'm going, why is their response differently? Well, some of our guys, when they came back, they would kind of vent a bit. But their cry is, it wasn't just that they saw someone shot or in a vehicle explosion or something like you would if you were a first responder. The thing is that they had to fire against someone, and that was really problematic. And some of them had to shoot children who had vests loaded with explosives.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them saw the after effects of bombing an enemy position, and unfortunately collateral damage is the precious civilians that are around. So they had a little heavier burden sometimes to bear because of what they had to do. And one of them had come up to me one time and said, Chaplain, how can I justify having to have killed someone, and yet I love God, I'm a Christian, you know, I value life? And it was absolutely amazing that out of my own mouth I heard something, and I know it came from the Lord because I hadn't really tried to figure all this stuff out. But I said, look, I would rather come from a culture where its warriors are mourning 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years later for having had to kill someone than to come from a culture that cuts off the heads of children and guts the women in front of their families. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, what? So even though it's a hard thing to bear, we have to not throw away who we are and what we're doing. What happens in the terms of defense of our own country or in the defense of another country or other peoples is a very difficult business. And it's kind of a mantle that only the morally sound should bear. And for the most part, we have been morally sound. But war is a difficult thing, and people don't understand it. As a Vietnam vet yourself and myself, we certainly have seen the horrors of war and have been through the fears and the pain of a combat situations. And these things stay with you forever. I'm not really sure of the accuracy of some of the numbers that are coming out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I've done a little personal research, and there are some conflicting numbers depending on which group is putting out the numbers, which is kind of true because the first thing you learn in your statistics class in college is that the numbers can say what you want them to say.
Right.
But it is still an issue, and it's something that we need to – it's multifold, but there are some things that we can look for. There are some things that we can do after the fact because it involves some things, and I'll cover a few things here because it's such an important issue such an important subject. I wish we were talking about a happier item here, but we're not.
Yes.
And for those families who have lost someone to a death by suicide, you know, I wish we could just turn the clock back and have all of this never have happened. But we can't. We have to really face the future and to do it as healthy and as whole and as complete as possible. And that's what I encourage people that I involve that are involved with those that are under stress or those that have already gone forth and committed suicide. So, but there are some things that can be looked for when people are talking about there's no reason for me to live. There's nothing to look forward to. One of the biggest ones is when someone starts giving things away, like treasured items, starts giving them away. Mm. I mean, that's, now you can't, you know, someone could just be a generous soul and do mm-hmm. that. You can't immediately say, are you trying to kill yourself? I mean, you know, no, you can't jump on every little thing. But that's what's so difficult about this. You're going, what they're doing looks normal beforehand. But sometimes when, and this is especially stressed in the military, there's a lot of suicide intervention, prevention, information that's out there, classes that are given, things that are required, participation, which is good to give a heads up and alert to those that are in the military, that it just, it's a difficult, difficult situation. But if you even suspect someone is thinking of taking their life, you really have to confront them and go, look, a lot of things are going on here. And you have to really ask them, and this is the hard part, are you thinking of killing yourself? Are you thinking of taking your life? And some of them go, no, no, no. And some of them say, yes. And you have you planned anything? If they've planned it, if they've purchased a weapon, et cetera, then that's time to intervene. It really is. That's a time that in the military, you're supposed to take them to the chaplain or to the commander and say, I will go with you. I will be a battle buddy. We can help you through this. But the biggest question we can ask them, and I hope those that are listening can understand this, is to ask them, do you want to end your life or do you want to end your pain? And almost everyone is going to say, this hurts too much. I want to end the pain. This is why they take their life. They think there is no way out of this. There's no way to stop the dreams. There's no way to stop the feelings. There's no way to stop. There's no way out from this. Whether it's someone who's come back from a war zone, whether it's someone who's inundated with relational problems or financial problems, they get to the point of this is, there is no way out. And unfortunately, violence and suicide have been glorified in our culture. It's a sad thing that our young people are exposed to so many violent video games and violent, even violent music, the words tapping in mm-hmm. on their head all day long. And it's sad. It's not the culture I grew up in. There's been a huge moral change, not for the better and for progress. Our freedom sometimes have turned into a free-for-all. So it's not just one or two things. There's a lot of variables going on in the current culture, which affects a lot of people's responses. But what some of the things that people don't understand, if there is a suicide, this traumatic event of someone's loved one, there's even more tragedy that piles on with them. Sometimes families disintegrate after this. Mm. The blame game. Mm-hmm. You should have known, you should have said, you should have done. Guilt is probably one of the biggest burdens that those who are left behind that they have to face. People, that they're often unable to deal with that intense grief and that humongous, unanswerable question of why.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. And after that mountain of why is there, then comes the second one, that if they weren't buried by the first mountain of why, they're going to get buried by the second one. Was, I should have known or I should have done something.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the biggest facts is that you very often can't know because they're hiding it. And there very often isn't anything you can do if someone is really to that point and committed. Our intervention, our job is the intervention.
Yes.
To be aware, to be battle buddies, to look at our neighbors and our relatives, to realize that stressful situations, this can happen. The loss of a loved one, a financial change. You know, I mean, just these are times that are humongous burdens. And if someone comes up with there's no reason to live because of that, we need to kind of make sure that we identify those that we see going through these pressured times and kind of make sure the communication lines are open there. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just the immediate family. It's not like if someone passes away, you know, death is a natural part of our life here. Murder isn't. Suicide isn't. You know what I'm saying? These
yes.
are things that affect more. If my grandmother passes away, I get condolences from my friends, but it doesn't seriously affect their lives. But if someone commits suicide, it's not just the immediate family that's affected. It's the coworkers and neighbors and, you know, classmates if they mm-hmm. were school age and friends. They're all asking the same why mountain faces them, and the same I should have done something does. And the healing is often hindered because of these huge waves of emotion that are tied with all of this. And, you know, the anger, the guilt, the fear. And sometimes people knew that somebody was suffering, either with a mental illness or the grief of some reason or the isolation, you know, the pulling back from friends. Some people, they know that that person was suffering, and sometimes they feel relief that their suffering's over, but then they're powerfully sad and angry because of how it happened, you know. So there's so many of these things going on, Ted. I mean, this isn't just death by a car accident, mm-hmm. natural causes, etc. This is, in our society, it has such a label on it. It really, really does. We even use the term committed suicide, like you commit a crime.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like, I'm trying to change that in my own vocabulary and the others that I speak with to death by suicide. This was a death by suicide. Mm-hmm. And because many people are not of a sound mind when they do this. They have gone past the logic and gone into the feeling process. And some of them you can't talk out of it. And you've seen many of those movies or mm-hmm. heard stories of someone on a ledge and then everyone's saying don't and they do. So, you know, it's a very, very difficult subject, very difficult situation, but we're not alone. I mean, it's not just common people. I remember that that Christian pastor Rick Warren, who mm-hmm. wrote a ton of books and got famous and all sorts of stuff, his son had a death by suicide. You know, and that just rocked his world mm-hmm. for sure. And Robin Williams,
sure.
Like, what was it, last year or the year before,
mm-hmm.
Recently had death by suicide. And the Boston Patriots, my team, Aaron Hernandez, that had things had to do other than football,
mm-hmm.
but he was you know, he was in jail, and that was like the end of his life. I mean, just to him, all the fame, all the money, all the glory, all everything, he was in jail, I think. What was it, a life sentence? Whatever it was, that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And so he took his life. He had a death by suicide. And personally, I truly can understand this, Ted.
Yeah.
Because two of my classmates from nursing school had death by suicide. The two of them had drug overdoses at different times. I was in Vietnam at the time, so it was well over a month before the news reached me
mm-hmm.
because I was traveling around because we went to, you know, we take care of patients in Da Nang, Cam Ranh Bay, and Tan Son Nhut.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd be on the road there for quite a while and didn't get to my mail. So I remember being shocked and thinking, my first thought wasn't anyone around? Who didn't listen? That was my first thought myself,
sure.
You know, but whatever was pressing down on them. So, you know, this was really powerful. So I understand that. I've lost a couple of friends to death by suicide. And then, and just recently, last year, while working as a chaplain with the Air Force Auxiliary,
mm-hmm.
Now, these aren't even warriors. These are young cadets in aerospace flying programs and emergency services programs. And this young cadet had death by suicide. He had come from a fairly broken family. You know, there was a lot going on there. But his girlfriend broke up with him, and for him it was the last straw. He went to her front lawn and blew his brains out. I mean, this is, like, powerful what is going on. But the increased numbers with those who have served in the military is what is of deep concern to many. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to find out, I think, earlier intervention, earlier information about what the signs are, what to look for, don't lose your battle buddy type mentality. Or if they're in reserves or guard, the military doesn't have the same contact with them, so it kind of falls on the family and the community. It's really, really difficult.
Yeah, you mentioned a point there I want to go back on, and that's the battle buddy. And it's not just the battle buddy that's with you in the battlefield. It's on the home front here, too. Now, there are different organizations that you and I belong to that work with veterans, that are all part of veterans. And we still have battle buddies out there. And it may not be the same one that you had before, but I really think, folks, as veterans, the first thing that they're going to do, if we have another veteran in trouble, we have a unique situation where we can talk to them. We can speak the same language. We've been there with them. But we need to get – I'm an old dog man. We need to get our ears up so we can listen also to what they're saying to us, that we can see what's going on. When's the last time he showered? When's the last time his house is a mess? He's letting things go. There's telltale signs, and we need to step up and be that battle buddy and not just ignore, it's just a thing he's getting over with. He's got a problem that something's happening. If there's this – degrading of his life, of the way he's taking care of himself, the way he's living, we need to step in now, right now, and find out what's going on, and be that battle buddy again. Be that one that's, even if it's to sit there and to listen,
sometimes if you ask them, call me if you need anything, they're not really going to do that. You more have to call them.
Oh yeah,
and talking about what's going on, it's a vital part of us watching out for each other. Now, the VFW, the VA, American Legion, Vietnam Vets of America, I mean, there's so many of these veteran groups out there that are talking about this, which I love to hear. Mm-hmm. When they have their meetings, they're bringing it up, they're bringing it to the forefront. But some of the important things that we can kind of encourage people to do, if we see them struggling, or we might run into families where it has already happened, where there was a death by suicide. Mm-hmm. Most people don't know how to talk to them. Most people don't know what to say. But the most important thing is to stay connected with your family members and your support system. The last thing anyone needs is to be isolated and alone. That's where the stranger things start happening. And sometimes there's children involved because they're, you know, the people were young enough that they had younger children. And even if they're teens, they're still severely affected by that. And very oftentimes, they have some intense emotions, and they don't really know how to deal with all that. And they have to be reminded, and so do the adults, that it's normal to have grief. You know, it's normal that it's okay to still love them, the person that had death by suicide. It's okay to still love and be in contact with someone who's struggling. But there are, you know, there's times that we can be more aware, like when you're talking about the guy that isn't showering, separating, isolating himself. But at the holidays, these are difficult times for those who have had someone that has passed by suicide or someone who's struggling and thinking of it. I mean, because sometimes those are times that often in our society are reminiscent of happy times, love, connection, being involved, having a sense of self, etc. Those that are struggling with ending it all, aren't sensing that. There is no reason to live. And sometimes they have to be reminded of that, and that there are avenues to take care of your pain. And professional counseling is so important, but so is spiritual counseling. And a lot of the spiritual aspect in our country kind of has been wiped out, sometimes as a unintended side effect, sometimes as a purposeful move mm-hmm. by those who don't have the spiritual connection. And so we just really need to make sure that that we can kind of inform the churches where we attend, where we go, to remind people about these things. And but it's a very, very difficult, very sensitive. People don't like to talk about it if it's happened yeah. to them and their family. And those who might be thinking about doing this are certainly not advertising it, but their behavior can be kind of a little indicator, and that's what mm-hmm. That's what we kind of have to take time.
Sure,
with.
Linda, you mentioned how our local community, our churches, for one, need to be informed about this. One of the things about I'm finding up here in Zephyr Hills and some of the church areas, and especially one of the new churches that we're working with, is that they want to help, but they don't have much of a veteran population in the church, and they really don't know what to do.
Right.
Their heart's right there. They want to reach out. So what we need to do as pastors and veteran pastors is to reach out to these different churches, offer some insight. If they want a guest speaker to come in, Linda, I know that you make yourself available for important issues like this, and we're going to be mm-hmm. tapping on you real soon. We'll be talking to you off air about what's some of the things that are coming up. But we sure. need, as a group, as pastors and veterans and chaplains out there, to really start getting into the neighborhood. That's where our people are living. And
Amen.
Especially here in the state of Florida, we've got such a large population of retired veterans that move down from up north, and they may bring their wife with them, and one of them passes mm-hmm. away, and they're all alone. And we're finding that now in this area that I'm living at. We're meeting people that, they're kind of by themselves. We need to mm-hmm. check on them, mm-hmm. and we need to also, where they go to the church, and they really, the church doesn't know how to approach them. And when they do approach them, they pray for them, thank God, but we need to be the vehicle that can say, hey, there are some programs out there. There are some ways that we can reach these. And not only exactly just the veterans, but the families that have suffered, as you said, the children that have suffered because of death by suicide. There mm-hmm. needs to be ways mm-hmm. that we can reach them. And we're going on a full-blown effort to make awareness of this and be able mm-hmm. to offer the spiritual counseling to the churches so they will have a base and at least know where they can funnel the help to and how they can get mm-hmm. the help and who can help these people. Mm-hmm. Important project, especially nowadays. It really is.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there are, like when you do go into the churches, mm-hmm. Or you speak to other different groups, I've spoken a number of times to survivors of those who died in the military, death by mm-hmm. suicide. And it's just important to, their lives are going on. Even though their loved one is mm-hmm. finished, their lives are going on, and it's very difficult for them, and they need encouragement. And they need to be encouraged to get involved with groups who have gone through the same thing. This is a proven method mm-hmm. of talking, and some aren't able to, but at least they can listen. They can hear someone else mm-hmm. expressing maybe some of their own feelings. And we just have to encourage them. If anyone is listening and someone has had a death by suicide that you know and love, you really have to take it one day at a time. Oh, these intense emotions, mm-hmm. they're perfectly normal. It's called mourning. And don't be frightened by them, and expect setbacks. Some, like the old saying, some days are diamonds, some days are stone. Mm-hmm. That's the same way in handling this particular type of death. And I also remind people, when you're going through this, if someone has in your support system, in your group, in your family, had a death by suicide, this is so shocking to your system. You don't realize how long this goes on. Put off any major decisions in this mm-hmm. immediate aftermath, because it's going to be impossible for you to do it correctly. Your brains are, and your heart are just shattered. And you have to set limits on yourself, too, because a lot of people mm-hmm. might want to talk to you in the beginning, and then there's nobody. I mean, there's all this stuff that's going on. And we just have to encourage them. They'll never be the same again.
No.
But it doesn't mean they won't enjoy life again. And that's where we can help. The passing of time and prayer. And I find those that have a deep spiritual base and have a connection with the Lord, they seem to get through this with a bit more strength, you know, and just it's very, very powerful. But love is a very powerful healer. And remembering the one who was lost and helping the one who was in trouble, I mean, these are very, very important things. And, you know, staying in touch with each other, staying in touch with God, the healing process begins, because it is a healing process. The one who might be contemplating suicide needs healing, and the ones who are left behind after it has occurred need healing. So it's a huge wound that's either festering and going on beforehand or after it has occurred. It is still there, and it's a wound that needs some healing. And understanding that and getting rid of the stigma and working, I think there's an awful lot of we have some of these guys that are coming back now. We have a lot of what's called TBI, traumatic brain injuries. And I just wonder if some of that is involved with the increased numbers. I mean, because we've had wars in this country, you know, World War One, World War Two. What were the suicide rates then after they came back?
Right.
You know, so, but also we have to remember, and this is, I haven't done the research on it for sure, but after World War One and World War Two, we won those wars. The deaths that happened, you can kind of put it into your little head and your logic. It was sad. It was terrible. It was a high price to pay, but the evil was stopped, and people were not being murdered and gassed and bombed and cities destroyed. Mm-hmm. We actually won the wars, and then it started changing. You know, Korea, we just drew a line.
Yes.
We didn't really win. The dictators are still there in North Korea. Vietnam, we didn't even draw a stupid line. We just left.
Yeah, we never really went after Ho Chi Minh.
Iraq and Afghanistan. Yeah. So when you know people, and this is what galls me from Vietnam, so those in Iraq and Afghanistan, then we just leave? What?
Oh, yeah.
So you look at that, so I'm just wondering if that is a little, you know, one of the factors that emotionally that wasn't counted. What was this all for? All of these men died to secure these cities in Iraq, and then we leave and those cities are taken over again and we have to go back in and more people die. This is absolutely ridiculous. So that starts going in your heart more than your head even. You know, why did we even go? So when that question starts coming in, that starts putting in that senselessness. That's what's the reason to live? Why did I do what I did? We didn't even get a resolve. So I think we have some cultural things happening. We have some adversarial things happening that we have not resolved as we have previously. So there are a lot of things that are going on that are factors that haven't necessarily been the same combined factors as in previous times. And so it would be interesting to find out if they ever figure this out. Mm. But in the meantime, we can't just brush it aside. It is a very important factor, but I wonder if the traumatic brain injuries are adding a little bit more to this also, because there is a little character change.
Yes, there is.
Some, depending on where the injuries occur in the brain and the scarring that occurs, it actually is causing some personality changes. So, you know, more work needs to be done and more research and coverage needs to be done on that and follow up. You know, after your traumatic brain injury, what is your behavior like? You know, just because you're discharged from the VA doesn't mean you should be dropped, you know? So
that's correct.
All the forms are filled out and you get your disability check, but then you have a death by suicide. So what was it all for? You know, so I think we just need to be a little encouraged that particular type of follow-up and with family and with support groups to see how is the individual doing and what types of behaviors are manifested that are significantly different that only the family would know, not the military.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, those are just kind of some of my thoughts on that.
statistically, sometimes statistics can, like you said, can be made to use any different ways. If we take a look at the different statistics that are out there, we can, as an intel information situation, some of the things that we need to zero in on will become very apparent to us. Some of the statistics that I've found, that they said 65% of all veterans who die by suicide were age 50 and older. And that was remarkable. And I went, whoa. So
yeah,
we're finding that some of these guys were from in between our area here, between Afghanistan and Desert Storm. And well, Desert Storm would probably include that, but Vietnam, and that there's an area there that is being that seems to be very prevalent with some suicide situations from the older veterans.
Mm-hmm.
And this, I think, is in a lot of situations we need to take a look of. What are the other factors in this type of age group? What's happening at this with this age group, 50-plus? Well, we know a lot of time there's divorces, even later on in life. There's family problems with children and the younger children that now are out there. And we know that there's problems, of course, with some of the younger kids that are being more and more stressed. Plus, there's that age factor of I've done all these years, and what have I really got to show that I accomplished? Mm-hmm. And it goes back to what you said earlier about winning. Was it worth it? Mm-hmm. What did we do? Or was it a waste?
What was that all about? A waste, Also, I think there's an awful lot of undiagnosed PTSD from Vietnam out there.
Yes.
I mean, some have stepped up to the plate and, gotten some treatment and things, but a lot of people... just tough it up. Nah, I'm fine. And they're still beating their wives and drinking too much, and all this stuff. So, yeah.
One of the other things I found also, they said that the risk of suicide from adults is there's a difference between men and women when it comes to the risk of suicides. And suicides are... 2.5 times higher among female veterans when compared to the U.S. non-veteran adult women. So just the regular adult women, they're finding that there is an increase in that just for the female veterans, too. And I found some other statistics here about the state of Florida. Now, of course, the state of Florida, we've got a lot of veterans here. We've probably got a higher amount of veterans than just about any other state. And the total, age groups, and this was a 2014 study which was done, and so they said the total Florida veteran suicides in 1 year was 591. The southern region, which is Texas, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Arkansas, Missouri, Tennessee, just the same. I think it's pretty much the same region that you cover as a chaplain, all the South, pretty much. Isn't that funny? Why do they put a Yankee woman in charge of the South? I'm just saying. That's all right.
Smarty, yeah.
But the total for the whole region is 3,019.
Whoa.
And so on the national veteran suicide at that point, there was over 7,388. Mm-hmm. And the Florida veterans suicide rate was 40.4. When it comes to that statistic that they had. And here's the age breakdown of it. From 18 to 34, that's why we're getting some different types of numbers here. From 18 to 34, it was at one point, it was at 62.4%. Then 35 to 54, this is the 2014, was 47.7, and then 55 to 74 was 33. So we're getting conflicting numbers here when it comes to VA and some of the other numbers.
Yeah.
But the important thing is that there is a pattern that's going on here, and that the veterans situation with the suicide is a problem that we need to address quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Quickly, because as we can't delay on this, because each day that we delay, we're losing more and more vets. It's like the World War II vets that are dying of natural causes now, because they're in their mid-90s, and lower in mid-90s. Unfortunately, you and I will be there soon.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us coming up sooner than – no, I won't go there, Linda. But Just today, I had a real interesting thing. I met my neighbor that lives across my backyard for the first time. I've seen him out there before, and we told you about him, the old guy that comes out and trims his cactus out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally went out there because I thought he was a snowbird. And I know he's here year-round, and he's 92.
Yeah.
And he was so happy for me to come out. He was trying to water his plants, and he has one of those drain barrels where they put water, where the water drains into. And he was so happy that I came back here to talk to him just to say hi. And I guess he moved down here with his wife, and his wife passed away. And a year after his wife passed away, he's married again. And he seems to be happy. And, but the thing about it, he says, you know, this getting old isn't fun, you know. I want to do things. I want to water my plants. I want to do this. I want to trim my, but I can't do it like I used to, you know. But he was so appreciative of somebody coming back. He kept thanking me again and again. And when we talked a little bit further, and he said he was a Christian and he belonged to this church, and getting named a church. And when I told him I'm a pastor and I belong to this church and we do this, and he was so excited about that. And I said, well, let me pray for you right here. I said, we're going to have you over for dinner soon, and you and your wife. And we just had, he was so appreciative. Folks, step outside.
So important what you're just saying right now, Ted, because especially, you know, you said the older vets are, you know, have a little higher incidence. And lots of times they do lose their spouse. They don't have children, or they're far away from them, or they kind of have burned a few bridges, but they're really alone. And here's an older man. I mean, a lot of older people, we just really need to be aware, too, especially those that have been in the military, just to kind of befriend them, just to watch out for them. There's nothing that says you're important than someone who cares for you, who's watching out for you. And sometimes that might get missed. It's either real or perceived that no one loves you. You know, everybody hates me, I'm going to eat some worms type attitude. And we just have to be careful, because we can somehow make sure that that gets out of the way. And doing it in just these small ways, befriending someone, an elderly individual, or finding out that someone was in the military, and just reminding them that all their memories are not bad memories, that there's good things that they have done. And to validate people for their importance, and that kind of gets diminished in our kind of society, the jokes, the demeaning, the, you know, the value on riches and cars and, you know, mansions and all this stuff that our young people are growing up with that they will never see. So it puts a longing and a lack in them that is not really realistic. You know, not everyone's designed and going to head to a mansion. You know, I mean, there is a wonderful calm in life that 99% of the people live. And yet our young people today, and then those that go in and have the pressures of the military, or those that are first responders and things that see and do things that others don't do, I mean, there can be, oh, I'm missing out. And they're not really. They have full lives that they somehow miss. And we can kind of help reconnect that just with a kind deed. Just with a kind word, and I keep telling people that, you know, just a kind deed, a kind word can take someone back from the edge.
Oh, yes.
And we don't know how effective that is, but we can continue to do that and be that every day, as well as the larger things, like the veteran organizations and the counseling and the referrals and all of those kind of things. Those huge, important parts, but there's all these small parts, and that's what we can do to encourage each other.
Linda, for years, you and I have been attending chaplains at the Moving Wall. And it always seems that when we do that, we'll meet a lot of people during the daytime and be able to talk to them and so forth. But you and I have found that the time to be at that wall is later on, when there's nobody, not many people around.
And in that late night hours, 9, 10, 1 in the morning, we've been out there.
And that's the time when those with the real issue, the real heartbreaking issues show up. And you and I both have been in that situation where we've able to minister, to just be there to listen to them, to have that ear, to care is so important. Yes. When I talked to this old guy next door, I was so excited when I came home. I said, you know what? I need to get him my phone number. So in case he needs me for anything, I'm right here. You know, he's an older guy, and him and his wife. So I grabbed my card, and it's got the phone number on it. And I gave it to him, and he was on his way out of his house with a piece of paper with his wife's name and phone number on it to give to me.
Oh, wow.
And I knew right there, and I stopped, and we exchanged papers, and I said, look, before we go any further, do you mind if I pray for you? And pray for you. And he was so, yes. And
well, you know, it's the connection, Ted, and I think that is a little bit of a variable that happens in the suicide situations.
Mm-hmm.
It's a disconnect. They don't belong sometimes. They don't have a sense of value. They don't have a sense of what am I going to do? What is the reason for even living? And that can happen, you know, to some people, especially those with limited or no support systems.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. I mean, I'm the oldest of nine. It's hard to not think of family. And, I mean, they're all over the place, you know, all my nieces and nephews, and they're all married and having kids and making even more. I mean, my family is huge. There's people that I know, they don't even have family. That's it. There was like one brother or sister, and they passed. Their parents are gone. You know, they never had a cousin or uncle. They were only child from a whole family of only children. And it's like, whoa. So there are some, and we just need to be more aware of that. And I think that's what we're doing with this particular subject on your radio program, and an awareness that people that hear this can go out and just bring that information. I mean, and people say, well, how can I get information on suicide? Listen, any one of your local military organizations already has PowerPoints and people that present this to the military. They'd be glad to come to your church and make an awareness in the community. You know, so it's you don't have to.
I'm glad that you mentioned that.
Things are out there.
I have,
there's many of us that are involved in speaking about it. You know, to be contacted also.
I have a number for folks, and I would like for them to write this down, if you would. It's 800-273-8255, and that's the crisis line. That's the Veterans Crisis Line. And that is a 24-hour a day, 7-day a week, 365 days a year call. So please, once again, I want to give this out. It's 800-273-8255. That is the crisis line, Veterans Crisis Line. Folks, give it a call. If you know somebody that it's in a crisis situation, please call this number. They may be able to get help and guide and get some help. And if you are in this situation yourself, please reach out and go to somebody. And those of you that are out there that we talked before, let's be a little aware of what's going on. Linda, we've got about 10 minutes, maybe 10 minutes left in the program. Take a short break right here. I just want to say this is Veterans Radio Ministry, and this is the Last Patrol Radio Show. And the Last Patrol Radio Show is brought to you by VRM, Veterans Radio Ministry. It's a ministry of Great Hope Christian Fellowship Church in Tampa, Florida. If you'd like to know more about the Veterans Church, or excuse me, the Veterans Radio Ministry, you can go to our website, which is veteransradioministry.com. It's all one word, veteransradioministry.com, and you'll be able to connect to our veterans website, and you're able to download any of our shows. The show should be up real soon. You'll be able to download this radio show. And I encourage you, any show that you want, or all the shows if you want, this is free. Send them to your friends. Send them anywhere you want. Let's get this word out. And that's what this ministry is all about. We don't charge for anything for our radio shows. And we are there for a purpose, and that purpose is to spread the healing, loving, caring, giving words of Jesus Christ to come into your life. And we, not only for veterans, but of course for all of those that listen and support, and the patriot American that's out there that loves his country and wants to help. And we just thank you for that time. Linda, if we can, I'd like to talk about a couple of your books. I know the one that I love so much is the latest book that you did, and that's DMR5. And DMR5, and it's the next generation. And this is so important now today. Can you tell us a little bit about the book and about DMR5?
Originally when I wrote the book, it was intended to be more of a factual book, an informational book about some of the changes in our society and, you know, some of the things that we could maybe do about it, but it kind of, it morphed into a novel. And a lot of my experiences in Vietnam are related there through the main character, who is a military female chaplain. And it's this individual's interactions with some young people in the small town, and how once their hearts change and understand what they're doing and why that God's directions aren't rules, they're directions for a better life, they actually change the whole town. Their lives change, they change the whole town. And there's a lot of twists and turns in the book. I don't want to give away any of the surprises. I remember as I was going through the process with the publisher, and the one of the editors wrote back and said, "Oh my gosh, this made me cry." And I thought, well, that's good. You've read a bazillion books in your career, so I'm glad this one touched your heart. That told me it touched the heart, and that's mainly what it is. And like I said, it's a novel, so there's a storyline to this, but a lot of it is experiences and things that I've had. But the unique way is that the young people that are portrayed in the book ask very pertinent questions about today's world and what's going on. And through that interaction, the information is getting out through the book about a change in your own perspective and where the God factor comes in,
mm-hmm.
not as some religion, but rather as a relationship with God. But it's not a religious book, but it's kind of like the wholeness of life, and there's a great little story to it. A lot of people have enjoyed it, and I like the story I tell of I came home one time, and a guy that has done some tree work for me, he was in my neighbor's tree doing tree work for my neighbor, and I gave him a copy of the book. We got to sharing a little bit, and he said he kind of had a spiritual base, but he kind of walked away. I said, "Hey, listen, take a little look at the book here." So he's up in the tree, and he called. I said, "Hey, is that you?" And he goes, "Yeah." He goes, "Hey, I read your book. It made me cry." This is the tree man, you know. And I'm going, "Oh, good." It wasn't designed to make anyone cry, but you know, you can get involved with the characters and kind of hear some of the wisdom on a better life. And I'm glad that a lot of people have enjoyed that. They can get it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, or go directly to Zulon Press, Xulon, Zulon Press, and order a copy. It's also on Nook and Kindle, so you know they're the downloaded books. So there's a lot of ways you can get it. So
and just
I think, go ahead and get it and enjoy it.
Just to let you know, the proceeds go to.
Yes, they go to Great Hope Christian Fellowship.
Yes, and that's what
and
that was.
And that continues our ministry, and
absolutely,
that's where the Veterans Radio Ministry is.
Absolutely. It's such a wonderful book, Linda, and I know when I first got it, it's one of those things. I sat down, and I think you gave it to me, you brought it to Melbourne, I think, and I sat down, and I started it that evening. I didn't get to bed till about I think it was about 5:30 in the morning.
Oh, geez.
And I got up, and when I got up at 9, I didn't have to be at the reunion for stuff to do till about 1 o'clock, and I made sure I finished the book before I got to.
Yeah, it. Wow.
This voice,
well,
this voice was
that,
in my head.
You kind of want to continue.
Yes,
you, know,
you do.
You want to find out what happens, you know, next.
Extremely.
It is kind of one of those books, so it is pretty good that way.
And so. And the big thing is about it, folks, if you buy the book now, and you've listened to this program, you will hear that voice again. Because you've heard Linda now talk, and now you've spent some time with her, and when you hear that narrative that's going on in the book, all of a sudden there's a voice to that. And it's not Bugs Bunny. It's Linda, and it's real. And that's one of the things that's so funny about it. Those of us that know Linda and love her, we hear her talking to us in our heads, and that's scary.
The characters in the book, I know. It is kind of funny that way, but I'm really glad that it kind of turned out that way. It's a little different than when I started, but you know, that's the old saying, you want to make God laugh, tell him your plan. So he always has a different way of doing things, but I'm glad that able to put some things to pen there that people can read and enjoy, and really my whole cry is that they would develop a real relationship with the Lord in Christ. It is not a religion, it is a relationship. And going to church is not a religion. It's coming together to worship a wonderful God. And he has healed many of our hearts and taken care of many things. But it's a choice. People have a choice, and they can take it or leave it. And that's their business with God, not mine. What we do is just proclaim his goodness and that he loves all of us broken people and more than we could ever love each other. And he is the way through all of this, and I'm grateful. So,
Linda, the other two books, and we'll mention The Climb and The Climb 2, isn't it? Is that the title?
No, I'm still working on about four books. So The Climb is out of print right now.
Oh, okay.
I've got about four or five copies, but I haven't done The Climb 2.
Okay.
I was going to, but it ended up being DMR5. So, but I've got a few more in the oven, and we'll just see what happens with that.
Well, I told you I finished my book. I told you before you went on the air, and my book is it's only got a few pages in it, but it's a connect the dots book, and I wanted to do a coloring book that will be the sequel to the connect the dots. And being dyslexic, it's taken me many years to make sure the numbers sequenced and were right.
Ted, you might be dyslexic, my friend, but you don't give yourself enough credit for the good things that you've done in our world and in our community, and the good things that are continuing with the Veterans Radio Ministry. And it's a blessing. Very, very difficult subject today in terms of death by suicide, preventing intervention, and then if that doesn't happen, then the postvention, so to speak, in terms of working with the families that are left behind. So very important for you to bring this up, and glad to be part of the conversation today.
It tells us in Psalm 71:3, "Be my rock be my rock of refuge to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, and you are my rock and my fortress."
Amen.
Linda, thank you so much for coming on with us today. And our prayers go out to you for all that you do and all the places. And we'll be seeing you real soon, hopefully before March 24th, because we have a dual gig that we're doing at the at the museum.
Over at the Veterans
Park.
Welcome home. Yes, I do appreciate your prayers. I will be leaving next Thursday to go over to the students that were involved in that school shooting. So I have an opportunity to speak with them. So I will be doing that as a chaplain through my chaplaincy of the Air Force Auxiliary. So appreciate all your prayers on that.
Linda, would love to talk to you after you come back and tell us how God moved.
That might be a good idea.
Thanks again.
We'll plan on that. We'll plan on that, sir.
All right. Thank you so much, Linda.
Okay.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Pastor Ted Marshall. Thank you for listening to The Last Patrol Radio Show. The Last Patrol Radio Show is a production of Veterans Radio Ministries. Veterans Radio Ministries is a ministry of Great Hope Christian Fellowship Church in Tampa, Florida. You can reach us by going to veteransradioministries.com. Again, that's veteransradioministries.com. If you'd like to contact us, please do so. Thank you for supporting, and thank you for listening to The Last Patrol Radio Show. Tell your friends about it, email your friends about it, text them, Twitter, tweet, whatever you do, but spread the word of Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening to The Last Patrol.
We were proud to call him brother. We were proud of what he'd done. Would it have been any different if America had won? Not too late to thank him or tell him that you miss him. You can tell him that you love him. Touch his name upon the wall. One of a million unsung heroes, whose story forever goes untold. He left his soul benumbed, but his spirit still lives on. He's walking with us on the last patrol.